pirate radio stations. Good, 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 good. Now, I have told the Prime Minister that we will shut them down within 12 months.
As you will see, sir, they're not, in fact, outside of the law at the moment, sir.
You see, that's the whole point of being the government. If you don't like something, you simply make up a new law that makes it illegal.
Flying under the CRTC's radar, you're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Speaking of which, I think we might also start working on legislation to outlaw that haircut of yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening. The tasty lip balm blew me away. Cherry pop chapstick, just like back in the day. I said the Atlantic is infecting the fine. My cherry's out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight as we get set for another fun and... Does it sound like it's echoing again to you?
No.
Oh, maybe
it just sounds
my,
a little bit,
maybe
a little bit
headphone.
Up.
It does. Everything sounds way loud today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on with this thing, but... Well, I'll drop my volume down to virtually nothing and away we go. Probably better for everybody anyway. They prefer that sound over everything
just
else.
Just like an old TV, you smack it a few times on the side and eventually things will line up.
You're way over, you're blasting way through there too, Jay. Yeah, like this is crazy. What's going on? Who's been messing with our board again? Somebody's going to die. We talked about this last week, but whatever. Glad to have everybody with us here tonight on the show. Lots to go going on, lots to happen tonight in terms of having interviews, exit interviews for the last four teams that got eliminated. But Jason, how are you? How's everything going first?
Ah, pretty good. It was a nice long weekend out at the lake, making sure no ticks climbed on the dogs.
There you go. That's important.
Very successful. It rained a lot. A tree fell down that I had. I wasn't able to take care of it just yet. I didn't have a saw, so I have to go back out there and
need a saw and everything, eh?
Yeah. Luckily, it didn't fall on anything. It fell on the path from where we parked to the cottage. So
I'll throw a little rewind on this as well because you're probably wondering a little bit about this song. I'll play this going again here a second. Here we go. So this song you're hearing. Mm-hmm. Tonight we're kicking the show off. A brand new tune from Bowling Green, Kentucky's Cage the Elephant.
Oh, I can hear it now. I get it.
Song's called Neon Pill. It's their new single released back on January 19th, 2024. It's the first single released in 5 years as part of their new album, also entitled Neon Pill. It was released last week, May 17th. Huh. So pretty new track in terms of what we're putting on here. The song is based off of a, quote, psychotic response to a prescribed medication, unquote, that lead singer Matt Schultz experienced, leading to a few years of issues for the musician and a guilty plea to 3 weapons charges. What?
Musicians always have the weirdest lives.
He told the Associated Press, quote, as I got off the medication, I went back to my normal self, and that was very odd because it was like having your life hijacked by another person, unquote. So whatever happened, whatever medication he was on, it apparently just messed with his head, but whatever.
Wild.
It's all been cleared up now. The result is the band's 6th album that deals with all of these hardships that he went through, and again, it was released last Friday, so find it at your local music store anytime you want to go down there. So there you go.
It's a good song, too.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. Neon Pill in terms of the first song there that we played. But we got lots to do tonight, so let's get into this right away. We got, I believe, one gentleman already waiting. We're going to bring him on in moments in terms of what's going on because there are some teams that were eliminated as we get set for third round action in the Survivor NHL playoffs pool, NHL playoffs contest that we're running. One of the gentlemen who was eliminated, unfortunately, is this gentleman as we bring him in. Tyler, can you hear us? Tyler, are you there? No? Are you there? Oh, wait, Jason's going to check the setup there. So we get set to go. Oh, there might have been a switch that needs to be changed. Tyler, can you hear us? Can you hear us now, Tyler?
I can hear you.
There we go. We got Tyler on right now to bring him on. Oh. Tyler had the Bruins, unfortunately. The Bruins didn't make it into the third round, unfortunately, in terms of what went on. Oh. So we're going to get Tyler's Tyler's idea here as to what happened. So, Tyler, when you're ready, feel free to explain why the Bruins disappointed you in all sorts of ways this year.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to go that route. I'm not going to go. I don't think they disappointed. I think the thing that you don't understand, Trevor, is Marshy and I are good friends. We go way back, actually. He knows I'm a Jets fan. He actually called. So I kind of taught him everything he knew growing up.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so all that. Face licking, all that. I taught him everything. So he called me. And he was like, look, I know you're a Paul Maurice fan, you know, ex-Jets. And he said, what do you want me to do here, man? And I was like, you know what? Play it easy. Let them win the series. But just lay bodies, man. That's all I want to see. And you know what? He provided. And that's a win in my book. That's all I care about.
I'm only smiling because I honestly could see you licking faces, but not doing anything else. in saying that, though, definitely a good exit interview right there. I'm not taking anything away from Florida. Florida, obviously, you know, the great game last night as well in terms of them playing the Rangers. But end of the day, you know, Boston didn't advance. Is there anything, if you were, again, coaching the Bruins or in charge of the Bruins, Don Sweeney, GM this summer, what are you looking to change for the Bruins if you have any changes?
Honestly, put me as a head coach.
Yeah, makes sense.
Strength training coach. Obviously, I'm a big gym guy. just get me in the room, man. Let me talk to you guys. Let me. You know what? Even if we're short players, throw me on the ice. Get me on there.
There you go. One day contract.
I'm done.
You're like David Ayer down in Carolina with the e-bug, eh?
Yep. Exactly. I know exactly who that is.
Big character guy, big glue guy in the room.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Nice. In saying that, though, obviously, you know, watching the rest of the playoffs that happen now, I mean, who are you picking to sort of, you know, Final Four to go all the way here?
I'm a big Jets fan, obviously. I would love to see a Canadian team win. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'd love to see Oilers go all the way. I have a feeling that they're going to get stomped. In the series, and I think it's going to be Rangers all the way, but I'm hoping to see a Canadian team.
That would be good. I'm certain we could break the 1993 drought that we've had since that year. So, I mean, that would be great to see the Edmonton Oilers maybe win. I don't know. I mean, we'll maybe talk about this in a bit, Jay, about how Canada's team gets labeled for the last team that's always in or whatever, and I don't really think that's true, but... yeah, I don't know if it's going to be... I mean, you look at the way Florida played last night. You look at the way Dallas has been playing. It's going to be tough for, I mean, any of these last four teams, I think.
But you do have to remember that Peter DeBoer is cursed. He doesn't know how to get to the Stanley Cup Finals and win. So, you know.
That is true.
If there's any Oilers fans listening, that is your saving grace.
Would it be... And I mean, Tyler, you can weigh in on this as well. Would it be great to see best friends Pete DeBoer and Paul Maurice face off in the Stanley Cup Final?
No, only thing I want to see is Rempe hit the ice and just drop gloves. That's all I want to see.
Is he even playing this series? Is Blake Wheeler back taking the spot now or what?
I mean,
I didn't watch, so I don't know, but I think Rempe needs to go in there and send a message and just laying people out.
Yeah, I think after last night, they got to put him back in.
For sure.
You're playing against Florida. You're not going to put Rempe in there?
It's all chaos with Florida, so yeah, we'll have to see.
You got to put the big dog in there.
That's right, exactly. Unfortunately, Tyler, I mean, it's been a fun ride. You didn't win any prizes this year for some strange reason. Every year you seem to win something, but this year they avoided you. So
I'll win our bet that we have.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about the bet. I know we got a side bet at work in terms of having a little fun with that, but it always good. We want to see you back here next week or next week next year in terms of the contest as well. Great having you in as well, and we'll certainly welcome you back with open arms.
Sounds good. Appreciate it.
Right on. Thanks, Tyler. Thanks. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
So Tyler is basically done at that point in terms of him being eliminated. We'll do the honors for him as well in terms of bringing on our normal guest that we have on every week.
Travis spoken.
As Boston is officially gone from the contest now, and c'est la vie in terms of what's going on. I mean, Again, watching Florida, again, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the Rangers. Rangers, I mean, had been off for a little bit of time. Yeah. I mean, they were the first team to advance.
It's that whole rest versus rust idea.
And we saw coming out of that first round, you know, going into the second round as well, the teams that had the most rest generally didn't do so well in the first game of the series. So we'll have to see if the Rangers maybe bounce back. But I mean, did you watch any of that game yesterday in terms of?
I watched parts of it. It was really just a very Florida game. It didn't. There wasn't like the shenanigans that you would expect.
Yeah, I expect that. Yeah,
but it was a very tight game for Florida. They looked very good. I think it was definitely one of those games where if it's a team like the Rangers, you need to get your feet under you very quickly. And they did seem to me at least a little bit sluggish. Shesterkin obviously looked fantastic between the pipes and had played a pretty good game, but full credit to the Panthers. Like, they did everything that they needed to do to win against a team like the Rangers. If you're playing against the Rangers, you need to slow them down, you need to get physical, you need to muck it up a little bit, because if you let them fly, if you let them, you know, use their speed against you and their puck moving abilities, they're going to run over you. And that's what they did the first two rounds of the playoffs. And Florida did a great job of slowing them down and making them play their game. And that's kind of what Paul Maurice likes to do, is force other teams to play his team's game so they can just dominate them and just physically overmatch them.
We're on to the next exit interview that we have here as well, as we get set up for the few that we have here today. This one will involve a Canadian team, as we saw the Vancouver Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers play a seven-game series. Could have sworn Vancouver had the upper hand in that, but for whatever reason, didn't end up that way. They're going to be watching the rest of the playoffs from at home, and we're going to bring in Travis to get this going. Travis, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Travis, we can hear you. You're doing well there, sir. We're going to get your thoughts on it now. So when you're ready, have at it, sir. Let's hear why Vancouver fell a little short this year in the playoffs.
All right. First of all, I would like to address your previous caller, Tyler. He does not know Marchand. He is not a gym boss. He goes to the gym and picks up a couple little weights and says he's a gym boss. Let's get that out there first, okay?
I love it.
Anyways, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the very first person out was my daughter, Zoe.
Yes, yes.
Unfortunately, I do have to tell you guys, Patrick Waugh did not call you. That was me.
I was shocked.
I mean, I could have sworn it was really Patrick.
Yeah.
So I just don't cry, but that's what happened.
I'm heartbroken.
I did have a plan out to do maybe a tortella. How would you say his name? Tortella. John Tortella.
John Tortorella. Yeah.
Tortorella, yeah. But I just didn't have time. So I'm just actually going to do the regular. I really thought Vancouver was going to pull through. They did not.
Unfortunately.
And I think number one reason to me would be the goalie. They did not have their Demko. But I will say, how do you say his name? Civil?
Shelov?
Yeah. I think he did great. Mm-hmm. I watched the last few games, and I think, like, Vancouver did not show up at all.
No.
Those last two games.
No.
It was hard to watch. And I watched it with a hardcore Edmonton fan. So
hard
to watch. I don't really have much to say, but like, I really give shout out to, can't say his name, Sivlov?
Shelov. Yeah.
I thought he played great, and Vancouver just did not show up defensively or offensively until the last, like, 3 minutes of the game on that last game seven there. Throughout the whole season, they did really, to me, they did pretty good. Versus Nashville, I thought they did pretty decent. Like, it wasn't horrible. But
yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
And then I think not having Demko and who else did they lose there? They lost
Brock Besser. Yeah.
Yeah. Without him, that's a huge blow, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. There's not much to say. Like, it sucks because I wanted Vancouver to win so I could be number one on the radio show. But,
I mean, we'll still have some fun with that. But at the end of the day, though, I mean, I think you're right. Shelov, I mean, again, played way over his head from what he'd never been in the NHL for any playoff game. He had never played a Game 7 before, and he showed up. Like, he was one of the few guys.
When you have a...
Did you guys watch that game?
I watched the game. I watched the Game 7, yeah.
Second period, that save he did.
Oh, I mean, he...
15 minutes left still, like 5 minutes into the game. Oh, that was beautiful.
He made. I mean, he made 3 or 4 saves in that entire series. Where you go, there's no way that like he should be an NHL goalie.
When you're going up against a team that can put like 40 shots in on you, you want a Latvian goaltender because it's what they're used to.
Yeah.
Every time they go to an international tournament, their goaltenders always stand on their head. So just if you're gonna give up a lot of shots, just get a Latvian goaltender. You'll be fine.
I think you're right about missing Brock Besser as well. I mean, that's a big chunk of their offense gone. I mean, guy who scored 40 goals this season, certainly a big part of that. But
yeah,
real leader in the locker room as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So I think it sucks. I'm disappointed, and I feel bad. I really wanted to give you guys something fun to laugh at, but I figured I'll do the serious thing for now and talk about how they suck, and I'll go Edmonton. Go.
Listen, we're still happy that Patrick Waugh called in, so we'll roll with that. That was an incredible setup from there.
Well, I will promise you next year, I will have more time and stuff.
I want full skits, like full interactions. We'll have some fun with it.
Exactly. And that Tyler guy sucks.
I'm not going to argue with that. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, especially him and his Marchand claims. I'm certain our
claims and like put me out there. Oh, yeah, okay. I don't even think the guy can hold a stick. If he did, it'd be like chopsticks.
I love it. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, got a guy out there that can barely skate, and he's talking about putting himself in. So there you go.
I would go against Marchand. I'd go against. Oh, you know what? I'd fight Buffalo. No, put me against Buffalo. Like, come on. Yeah, whatever. That guy, you know, I don't even think he could do his normal job properly.
Well, yeah, I mean that's completely within his specs in terms of trying to figure out where he is and what he's doing every day. So there we go.
Tie up his doing.
Unfortunately, though, I mean, Travis, we gotta get you, but we gotta get your team out of here in terms of sending them home. Obviously, we're going to welcome you back. I mean, a couple of great exit interviews here in terms of having a lot of laughs with them. So definitely come back next year, and we'll get you back in and have a lot of fun again next year for sure.
I'm just kidding. I love Tyler.
I expect tomorrow the work chat that you two are going to have is going to be pretty spirited.
I don't know the guy. He's dead to me.
Right on. Thanks for playing, though, Travis. We appreciate everything, and we'll look forward to it again next year for sure.
You bet. Oh yeah, I got plans.
All right, we'll see. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
So Travis with the Canucks, fantastic setup there.
I love the rivalries that are brewing here.
Again, a couple guys that I know, they both sort of work together, in the same place that I do or whatever. So I didn't know there was that deep of a rivalry between the two. Yeah. But now that I know. We're going to stoke this every chance we get. So, but let's bring in Jeff. We got some Jeff to send off Vancouver here again. Oh, wait. That's the next song in terms of the exit interview we're doing. But let's bring him in. And there we go.
Travis spoken.
So, Vancouver done as well. Again, one less Canadian team in there, and as we heard, the final team would be Edmonton going through. Mm-hmm. Jay, what did you think of the Canucks' effort in that series, though, just with the hits that they took throughout? I mean, they lost Demko early in that Nashville series. They lose Casey DeSmith after that, and then all of a sudden they're down to Abbotsford's best, known as Artur Shelov.
I mean, it's difficult, right? Like, my concern is always when teams come hot out of the gate and just continue rolling throughout the season. Like, you want to get hot at the right time. You don't want to kind of waste the magic that you have for the season early on. And it felt like they got into that series against Nashville and kind of got punched in the mouth a little bit. And then you specifically have, as you mentioned, the losses of Demko and DeSmith. You also had, Elias Pettersson, who was not playing well, and now we know that he was playing with a fairly significant lower body injury. And they're down to their third string goaltender who did come in, and it was like the second coming of, I guess, Dwayne Rollison in Edmonton, and, you know, got that team further than they probably deserved to go with how they were playing.
I was going
to
say it was the Louis Domingue, only more successful from
exactly.
last year.
So full credit to him. I think he's kind of made a stamp that he deserved an NHL job, and maybe having him split time with Demko next year will help kind of mitigate some of the mounting issues around his injury history and making sure that he's healthy for the playoffs, not playing as many games as he did.
Well, from what was published, at least by Vancouver media anyway, it sounds like Casey DeSmith is not going to be re-signed. So it sounds like Ishilov's job to lose at that point in terms of being the backup to Demko. But I mean, at the end of the day, though, how do you not give that guy the shot now, right?
Exactly. Like, and then you have Dakota Joshua, who wants to come back. He's made it very clear that he wants to come back, and I think he deserves to be back. And then you have the conversation around Elias Lindholm potentially maybe re-signing, maybe not. He's been kind of wishy-washy about it in his exit interviews. But
it sounds like it's going to come down between Joshua and Blueger, because they want to keep both, but they can only afford one.
Exactly. And I think you might want to stick with Dakota Joshua.
Just based on what we saw.
Yeah, exactly. I was pleasantly surprised kind of all year by the Canucks. Them and the Flames, for me, are always a hit-or-miss team. It's either they come into a year and they look unbeatable and look like they're going to be a playoff-caliber team, or they come out, fall flat on their face, and are terrible all year. So it's you never know what you're going to get with either of those teams.
Right, yeah.
And this was just Vancouver's year, and I think they finally figured out the mix. They finally put it together. It's just it fell apart at the wrong time.
Speaking of falling apart at the wrong time, second straight year that the Carolina Hurricanes have failed to make good on their promise to win the Stanley Cup. Tough when you see the amount of talent that they assemble every single year, the amount of just incredible players they put on. But we're going to bring on John, who probably can hear us now. John, are you there?
Yes, and that's New York Islanders legend, Dwayne Roloson.
That is true. That is true. Nothing wrong with New York Islanders legend, Dwayne Roloson there. John, we're going to give you the floor. Obviously, you have a lot of thoughts on this Carolina Hurricanes team that you kind of don't like. We're going to let you have a little fun with this. Feel free to tee off whenever you like as soon as I stop talking here. Here is the exit interview for the Carolina Hurricanes.
In our society, we celebrate two things, hope and failure, and they usually go hand in hand. Over the last few years, pretty much the last 5 years, the Hurricanes have embodied both. Every year, under Rod Brind'Amour, under Tom Dundon, now Don Waddell, they continue to be the belle of the ball. Everyone says, oh, they have the scoring. Oh, they have the blue line. Oh, everything. You know what? This will be the year that their goaltending comes around. No, and then they fail. Not only do they fail, they make everyone hope, and they give everyone false hope before that failure just truly just becomes stinky cologne in the room. And it's funny that three of the last 5 years, it's almost, in a weird way, it's almost as if the Islanders have proven that the Hurricanes are frauds. I think we're just going to jump right into that. And I don't,
sure.
We're past jerks. We're into frauds. it really just boils down to you can only fail up so many times. We've all seen this. Someone just they can't do their job, except everyone has hope. Everyone just sits there and says, man, they just had another shot. If they just had that little bit of extra support, if they just had that little bit extra, and then they completely just piss themselves. I can say that, right?
You can, yeah, you're okay.
Okay, I know I did, but that's not the point.
CRTC's not listening, don't worry.
Yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah, okay. But, and then, as they continue to fail up, everyone gets more hope. Oh, now they know what. Now they know. Now they know what they need. No, your goaltending is trash. No, I don't care that your head coach could suit up and still play. That's not even. I'm not even going to argue that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That man's a freak. But. That man also goes out of his way to whine about everything. Does he want a 5 minute? Does he want a five attendance and a game misconduct because there was an icing? Someone literally someone looked at his goaltender, and I thought he was going to go find a Gatorade jug to throw.
He may find something to throw. That's the thing.
Now, Patrick Roy has grown up, but could you have imagined if those two decided to throw?
That would be fantastic.
I don't know who my money's on.
I would pay to see that, actually.
Yeah.
I've already set the cash aside. but the Carolina Hurricanes have, for a third year after dispatching of the New York Islanders, I mean, look, just because the coach said it wasn't a sweep, it was, they gave themselves and everyone around them false hope. They had to do that this year. I wish I could dump button. I'm going to quote a friend of mine, Ryan, who's not listening to this, but I should point him. The Hurricanes lost just in the same way the Confederacy lost. Come on. You blew it. You couldn't. You're a bunch of idiots. And of all the years, you lose to them. You give the world false hope against the North Korea of the NHL. Give me a damn break. So the hope that they give themselves, that they give their fans, and then they completely mess the bed. Hope leads to failure. Failure leads to a new contract. What is it, 6 years?
Him and his staff got 5, yeah.
Look, the only funnier thing is if it was him and not Berube. That would have honestly been the most amazing fail until you make it, until you fail again, that you couldn't get it done, but then, you know, the Athletic turns around and gives you a contract for their head coaching spot. And that was the end game, and they blew that one too. So give everyone hope, fail, be lauded for both, and get paid.
So
the story of the Carolina Hurricanes.
I mean, I'll ask only because I think it needs to be sort of mm-hmm. said then. I mean, obviously, you know, dislike aside, goaltending was obviously a significant factor in that mm-hmm. New York Rangers Carolina Hurricanes series. And I'm not taking anything away from Shesterkin, but you're going up against Freddie Anderson, who hasn't won a playoff series in, I mean, he beat, yeah, granted, they beat the Islanders, but he hasn't won a playoff series on his own. Like, he hasn't come up and stolen games for Carolina at all, ever. And then you have Antti Raanta sitting behind him, who hasn't played in forever. They have nobody in the pipeline, though. Spencer Knight, maybe, but he doesn't look ready at all. Mm-mm. If you're Carolina, like, how do you address the goaltending issue?
Well, you
get rid of all those high-priced defensemen.
Well, you force Brent Burns to retire.
Yeah, that would
because that saves you $8 million right there. I mean, do you want me to say the funniest thing? You trade Sebastian Aho for Sebastian Aho.
There you go.
That would be great.
I would love to see that. I would love to see an Aho for Aho trade on that, just to see everybody's head explode.
forget the name, just in the insanity of it. I mean, that's your Adam Larson, Taylor Hall deal.
Yeah,
it's a one for one. No. I wouldn't even know what to do with myself. But again, no. You have to move dollars out, and then all of a sudden realize you have to go make a trade. I mean, great. They got Jake Guentzel, who I don't know what he did against the Rangers. Did a lot against the Islanders. But then again, if you look at the fact that the Islanders just decided to not have special teams, if you can find me a power play goal by the New York Islanders in the last two decades, I would be pleased. Like, I have not seen a Islanders power play since college. And the Hurricanes were in the Hurricanes completely feasted on the fact that you do anything to get the Islanders out of a 5-on-5 situation, you won the game.
Yeah,
and they did that. And but again, you don't. They don't. They have to trade somebody to free up money for them to go make another trade because who's available this summer who's not. I mean, what are they going to do, go to Chicago and get Mrazek back?
Well, Jake Allen might be the best option on the market this summer.
That's not
you. You have a fork stuck in your thigh. So you don't laugh about that.
So I mean, I'm looking at their depth chart right now. It's Freddie Anderson. It's Antti Raanta. It's Peter Kochetkov, Spencer Martin, and then Yanov Peretz, who played the entire season in Norfolk. Like, they have nobody in their system.
No, that's terrible.
And I legitimately look at this now and I go, they got rid of a pile of other guys that are legitimately not doing anything. Michael Bunting, for example, got brought in Gensel to increase their scoring. And the one thing they couldn't do was score.
You know, it would have been a really nice thing and would have freed up a lot of cap space. Not offer sheeting for Kotkaniemi.
Oh.
That wasn't bad in the first 2 years. That was actually pretty decent at the beginning.
I mean,
no, I didn't say good. I said,
oh yeah, I know that. That's the problem. I'm still going. Ee. When he's your third highest paid player on your team,
yeah, but I don't have cap friendly or anything in front of me. What is all? But it was only like what? Tell me, it was 5.5.
Four point eight though. 4.8, and it goes till the end of 2030.
Cost him a first and a third.
Yeah.
2030. Ooh, he got the DiPietro deal. Good for him.
I mean,
you're right. He needs to be jettisoned, but I mean, San Jose is out of picks.
Right. I mean, there are guys legitimately this summer that you're going to go, like, they have to re-sign those guys. Like, the Jack Drurys, the Seth Jarvises. I mean, I know they're talking about, you know, Martin Nietzsche's, you know, being moved. But, I mean, legitimately, you look at, like, do you bring back a Jordan Martinook? I can't see it. I thought
he also said that he didn't want to, or his dad also said he didn't want to come back.
But that's the thing. Like, I can't see him going anywhere.
Carolina that players' dads are coming out saying they don't want to play there.
Tara Vinen, what do you do with him now? Like, that's the question. I mean, they've got more free agents this summer than half the teams in the NHL. Brady Shea, Brett Pesce. I mean, nobody wants to sign Anthony DeAngelo, but somebody will take a sheet on him in terms of what you're going to do. There are legitimately like six like key free agents they have that they cannot sign because they're so like top heavy again. Again, some of that's clearing out, thankfully, but like all of the restricted free agents that come up after that, again, the Seth Jarvises, the Jack Drurys, the Nietzsche's, like all of those guys are going to require a ton of money to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And while there's a lot of free agents, like there's a part of the problem is they're.
How are you paying Dmitry Orlov $7.75 million?
You did the same things that Orlov did to get into DC.
Like, that's insanity for that guy. I cannot imagine
that. I wanted him on the Islanders.
I thought
he would have been a great fit.
At 7.75, but, yeah, he's not a fit anywhere. I was going to say at 3.75, he might be a fit, but not 7. Holy smokes. I don't know. This Carolina team seems like it's built poorly, and it showed in that Ranger series.
We're skipping over a key factor, though.
Okay.
Carolina, with all of their flaws, you put them on the power play, that's a potent team.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the problem is, with all of Brindamore's whining and moaning about how the refs aren't giving them the credit to, you know, to do what they need to do, they ran into the crown jewels of, teacher's pet in the Rangers, mm-hmm. who other than Chris Kreider, I don't know if anyone knows that 5-on-5 is actually a part of NHL hockey, but the Rangers were scoring at what, what it felt like a 60% clip on the power play.
Yeah, they were good. They were very good.
Because, on the power play. And it's not even Laviolette. Don't get me started on Laviolette and Pekka.
I won't. Don't worry.
Just the you no, we don't have the runway for that. But the Rangers get calls. They get more calls than Carolina, Montreal, Toronto combined. And that's really what sunk Carolina because of Freddie Anderson. But when you put that team, I have to sit here and go, that is a dangerous team.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, it's situationally dangerous. Then again, I saw last night that they had just as many shorthanded goals, power play goals, and I'm like, I don't know what Florida can do here. Until Florida just basically said, no, we have Keith Tkachuk's baby boy.
When you play the Florida Panthers, the rule book goes out the window, and
but that's the thing, though, is that between Laviolette and Maurice, who both coach in the Central as well, like they know how to quote unquote manipulate the system a little bit in terms of what's going on. Yeah. I look at those two and I go, they're gonna squeeze every referee that's in that series to legitimately call nothing. And yeah. I mean, that works for Maurice, but for Laviolette, don't call us, call them. And that's what Maurice is saying as well. Don't call us, call them. Like, it's going to be madness to see who ends up with more power plays, because in the end, it should just be, you know what? No officials. You guys just battle it out.
Just beat each other up.
60 minutes of pure chaos. Go.
I don't want power plays, because then you don't get to see Kyle Okpozo on the ice. And
true.
I want this. Yeah. And look, we know this is his last rodeo. I think the Florida trade, and he made some comments that he's gonna ride off after this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's 36, so yeah. I don't doubt that.
And he's had a couple few concussions.
Yeah, a few of them. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to do a hockey conspiracy theory episode, if they had traded Tavares and kept him, he would have been the captain. But I digress. And maybe the world would have been completely different. We'd have world peace and, you know, clean cold fusion energy, and you know, anyway. But yeah. No, it's
okay. So let's have.
I'm glad they're done.
Yeah.
But again, they had to lose to them.
Wow.
Why?
Yeah. I know. But I mean, at the end of the day, they were the number one team in the NHL this year, and I mean, I'm not going to hold that against anybody.
Were they?
I'm waiting for the curse to kick in. That's all.
Yeah. At some point.
You wouldn't know it, but if you okay, thankfully you don't have to suffer through ESPN the way that we do, because the number of times it's just, hey, Mark Messier is here. Do you know what happened 30 years ago? No.
I'm actually.
Hey, did you know he's bald? No, I get it.
No, we've had nonstop Craig Berube and Mitch Marner coverage.
Right, you guys get all the Mark Messier feeds you can get. We get the Toronto Sports Network talking to us like 24/7 about what the Leafs are doing, even though they've been out for 3 weeks.
Hey, if they make a captaincy change, I think you should call me.
They might. You never know. It depends on who's getting traded this summer. So,
I mean, he's only got 1 year left.
You know, how many times has he said, I don't want to leave?
Probably more times.
I know a guy who's got 2 years of receipts of that idiot saying, I don't want to leave, and then he left.
I was gonna say it's probably more times than they've shown him in that Maple Leafs bed that he was in as a kid there. So
I've seen that photo way too many times.
I don't want to see it ever again.
He had the Naboo N1 Starfighter from episode one. So, I mean,
yes, that too. Was,
yeah, that's...
That's also... That's really, like, that should have been the red flag, not everything else.
That's fantastic. I'm going to ask you before we let you get going here, John. I'm going to ask you quickly, because I know it's going to be a topic of, you know, that'll come up over the summer, especially with, you know, free agency drafting and everything. What are the Islanders doing for next year? What's happening in terms of both roster and who's going to be there, who's going to be leaving?
Okay, so the goaltending is set.
Okay.
And the coach who, I heard he was a goaltender, maybe?
He did a little goaltending in his time.
Might have set a record or two.
Yeah. He's actually said
I love this. He's like, I don't care what I did. I have a goalie coach for a reason, which is great. Then he can focus. What I think, all the tea leaves are pointing to the fourth line getting dismantled, which means my kids are going to be devastated because they each have. We have a Clutterbuck, Zekas, Martin jerseys. I just saw this nonsense about trading Pulock to Winnipeg. Like, once again, the strength of the Islanders continues to be on the non-goal-scoring side of the puck. It has continued to be goaltending. It has continued to be defense. I would not trade. Trading Pulock would be another Devontaeves trade.
Yeah.
And that's, while you got 2 seconds in return, great. Anyone else would have given you something more, but that doesn't justify the fact you can trade Pulock. I would be.
But what if we give you Ehlers in return?
Go away.
Fair.
I don't know. Like, they have a lot of contracts. They have a lot of contracts for very long. Like, Engvall is around for 6 more years, and I don't know. Hudson Fashing, I don't know. The future of Anders Lee, I don't know. But then again, everyone thinks that the moment they got Bo Horvat, that meant there's your new captain. Like, I don't. That's not how this works. Except to some people, it does. Then there's trade Brock Nelson. I'm like, why would you do that? Why would you, like, I don't know. I don't know who. 4 forwards will be gone. Bortuzzo's gone, which might be insane. I'd actually keep him. Scott Mayfield's got 6 more years. Pellick's got, I think, 5 more years, but he's got concussion histories now. Like, the thing is, it's now not a group of players who are injured and a group of players who have long contracts. The players with long contracts have injury histories, and you're going, I don't know what to do. I would say 2 defensemen and 4 forwards are gone.
Okay, so here, but the question becomes then, and I'm not trying to put this on you because I know you're not the GM, and Lou's got far more experience, although I don't know if he's got any more wisdom, but at the end of the day, your top 9 forwards, the top 9 guys that are being paid, nobody is below the age of 26. And
that's right.
And on defense, the only 2 guys you have signed beyond next year are both 29 years old.
Yes.
Like, the youth on this team needs to be prioritized, I would say. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is. Simon Holmstrom. So that's the thing. Is Simon Holmstrom a third liner or a fourth liner? Is Kyle McClain truly just a fourth liner? What is Hudson Fashing?
Right.
That, to me, is actually a decent fourth line. Because that cute little baby face on Simon Holmstrom can throw his body around. And I don't see... You're right. Because then there's also Kyle Palmieri. And Kyle Palmieri has the, no joke, the quietest 25 to 35 goal seasons.
Right.
Ever on this planet.
What do you do with Noah Dobson at 24 and a restricted free agent in the following year? Like, he's going to ask for a ton of money, too.
I pay Noah.
Right, okay, but then if you're going to pay him, and again, I'm just going to throw a number out there, if you pay him, say, $6 million a season, you have 3 defensemen now that are making $17 million. Like, there's no way around
this. It's not one captain making 11.
No, and that's fair. But
I'm sorry.
But there's no way of getting around the fact that Lou has positioned this team into corners that it shouldn't be in, based upon these monstrous long contracts that he's handing out. 2 very good players. Don't get me wrong. You know, Pellick, Pulock, you know, fantastic players. But at the end of the day, though, should they be signed past 2030?
No.
And that's where we're looking at now, is that with Noah Dobson coming up, with, as you said, Kyle McClain, with Simon Holmstrom, these guys need new contracts. They're going to ask for money because they've done a good job, and there's not a lot to throw around now.
And the cap's not going up fast enough to compensate.
Right.
No, and to answer your question in a broader, more philosophical sense, no one should have a contract longer than 5 years.
Well, like, I agree.
I actually miss those. I miss those days.
Right.
When 5 was the magic number. there wasn't even that Allen Houston. There was no Allen Houston rule yet, where you could get. Okay, unfortunately, the way you laugh, I not only did I already know how old you are, the way you laugh, I know how old you are because you know what the Allen Houston rule
right.
is.
Right, but I was going to say the Kovalchuk rule in hockey is basically the same thing. So
it is, and that you can't even even if that means it's six is too much. Like keep it at five. But I digress. But you're right. It's not the dollar values that bother me. It's the term. And it's term, and smarter people than I said this the other day in a different forum. Lou's problem is, an 82-year-old man is still general managing in the NHL when everyone, is half his age. Problem is, he's not out of touch. He's too in touch. He's too in touch with people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with that. It's not an original thought for me. I just happen to agree that he personal relationships should matter, but they matter too much. And I think that's why the fourth line is still around. That's why Anders Lee might still be around. If cold, calculating Lou shows up this summer, Lee, Palmieri, half of, two-thirds of the fourth line, maybe a fourth forward, gone.
So, I mean, I just, again, looking at cap friendly, I'll give you this, the projected idea here. You're probably going to freak out when you hear this, John. As of right now, the Islanders have $81.4 million committed to next season. They have a projected cap space this summer of $6.2 million. They are not going to sign anybody that's worth keeping outside of a handful of players without major roster reconstruction.
Yeah, unless you move a lot of money out.
Yeah.
You're saying Siplikov's not going to cut it?
You might be able to pull the Vegas Golden Knights and LTIR a couple guys until the end of the season. We'll have to check on that. Yeah. But
look, I didn't even know who that guy was until it happened. Like, I also don't care. Look, I understand. The European signings are important in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I just don't care. And I don't put stock in these because the last seven the Islanders have done haven't panned out, but they were designed to, you weren't supposed to care if they didn't pan out.
Right.
That's the funny thing. And I just don't care. But no, Matt Martin should retire. Cal Clutterbuck should be traded. Casey's 30 and has 5 years left on the deal.
Mm-hmm.
4 years left. Four or 5 years left.
Three years. 2027, yeah.
Still has value. He can still play. Patrick Waugh is insane for putting him as a first-line left wing, but it just didn't work. He didn't look out of place. It just didn't work because these are two different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Four, maybe five forwards, two defensemen. Goaltending is set. Maybe, but, then you look back and what if, all right, let's say Dallas beats Edmonton. What if they have Varlamov instead of, Principal Skinner? what if Vancouver had him versus whoever that guy from the diner is?
Archer Shelos, yeah.
Yeah, I get that you have to start somewhere, and you're right. The Vancouver should take another flyer on that guy because it worked to a degree, but I just don't think Varlamov needs to be around to babysit Sorokin for three more years.
And if Sorokin's 28 already, and Varlamov's is 36 going into this next season.
Sorokin's ready. He's there. He's established. He's the guy.
And it's time to start finding the incumbent to come up after him. After right now, I'm not saying that the Islanders don't have anybody in place in terms of their farm. But again, you look at the way that Varlamov. Well, but even if they don't. You're looking at the way that Varlamov has a hold on that position. Why would anybody sign there even to have an opportunity to do that?
I completely agree. And, they all love Brighton Beach. I get it. But, make him retire. Kovalchuk, make him retire. Have him work with Piero Greco.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll
work. And I'm saying that because that's another rumor that is Mitch Korn going to want to work for that guy who, again, might know something about goaltending, but do they want to be in the same room with, with the same galaxy brain thoughts. I don't know. But then, I mean, every team does it, but if you look down the list of, you know, former players who are in player development, you know, this, like, you know, triple assistant coach over here, it's like half the 2002 playoff roster. It's just bonkers. But no, I don't know. And I can tell you Matt Barzal's not getting traded.
No. I don't know if there's any teams that can take a $9.1 million hit either, though. Mm-hmm. So maybe Arizona. No. Or maybe Utah.
Hold on. Yeah, this is a new Baltimore Ravens situation. Because remember,
yeah, it is.
Everything's staying in the Coyotes are now the Cleveland Browns, and that's one of the most. We've gone places in this conversation, but I think I need to cut myself off there. I don't know if I can go past the Arizona Coyotes. The Utah Coyotes are the Cleveland Browns.
That is fair.
That's where we are, and I'm. It's bad.
It is bad.
It's been a pleasure talking to the two of you.
Yeah.
It's been far too long. I'm busy coaching softball and baseball.
That's good. I'm glad you're getting out there and having a little fun with the kids as well. I mean, I know that they're big fans, or we're big fans of theirs in terms of hearing them on the show every once in a while when they're in the background. But at the same time, John, we want to wish you definitely a great summer. We'll catch up with you as well, because definitely as we get closer to the NHL season, we'll talk about signings and who's doing what and who's may have been traded where, certainly in terms of Islanders and other places that players go. So we'll talk about all of that, get you set up with a full Utah chat at some point, and we'll bring you back for that if you're okay with it.
Hey, imagine if Toronto sent that guy to become their new captain. I think we'd talk.
That would be interesting. I would certainly have a long talk about that.
I'll bring my own dump button that time.
All right, that sounds good. I like it. John, always a pleasure. Definitely welcome back next year. Come on back for some more fun here on the contest. We always like having you on here, for sure.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been wonderful.
Right on. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So there's John, who is one of our regular listeners all the way from Washington, D.C. Fantastic guy.
Mm-hmm.
Always like talking to him. He's always
got
great stuff.
Can you tell he's an Islanders fan?
Loves the Islanders. Honestly, that's why we bring him on as well, because he's always got good insight as to what's going on the East Coast out there. And, I mean, that's... For one of the franchises that we don't really get to hear, again, Rangers dominate most of the headlines in New York. For one of the teams that we don't get to hear a lot of, good to talk to John, because he's got a pretty good insight as to what's going on there as well. Yeah. He's connected pretty well to the Islanders fan base there, so it's always good to hear that as well. Our final interview, which we kind of stretched this out with John a little bit in terms of having a good chat with him, but Chris was supposed to do it. Chris is not going to be able to do it. There's a medical situation that he's dealing with that he won't be able to do the final interview. So we're going to leave it up to you, Jason, for Colorado.
Alrighty.
I know that you probably have lots of thoughts after watching the Jets beat Colorado, or the Jets lose to Colorado, excuse me, and then go into Dallas and just get punched in the face.
Yep.
So are you ready for this, sir?
Sure am.
Oh, wait. Before we do that, I forgot one thing for John. Let's bring Jeff in for that.
Travis spoken.
There we go. Well, that's good. And now we're ready for Colorado's exit interview. Here we go. When you're ready, go. Here we go, Jason.
You see, Colorado, that's how it feels to come into the playoffs and get smacked in the mouth. You did it to us, and now Dallas did it to you. This is the bed that you have made, and karma came for you. but honestly, like, the Colorado Avalanche are one of the best teams in the NHL.
Yeah.
I think one of the major, they basically have the trump card that is Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon. Like, they're unbelievable. Just imagine what this team could have done if they had Gabriel Landeskog this year. That would have looked completely different.
Had Valerie Nichushkin showed up for Dallas.
That's a situation.
Yeah.
But this is a team that, you know, they got hit hard by the post-cup hangover when they won the cup. They haven't really been able to right the ship in terms of their goaltending, and I think that's one of the real sore spots. Like, you can't... Alexander Georgiev has shown promise. He's shown good things. They had Francouz for a while, but they've never... We talked about, you know, the Hurricanes. It's a very similar situation with the Colorado Avalanche, where I don't know what you do with that goaltending situation going forward. You have one of the best defensive cores in the NHL. You have one of the best forwards in the NHL right now, probably a top five player in the league right now in Nathan MacKinnon. And they're having the same problem that the Oilers are having. They cannot trust their goaltending, and that's going to kill you when you face a team that is as deep and as skilled and as structurally sound as the Dallas Stars. That's what the Jets showed during the regular season when they were able to roll four lines, when they were able to kind of just pick apart Colorado throughout the regular season and pick apart that goaltending. But it was something that they were exposed with when it came to playing Dallas.
I don't disagree with any of that. I think I don't know if the goaltending is bad enough to be called not good enough, but Georgiev just simply didn't make as many saves as Ottinger did. I think the big thing that you mentioned, though, not having Landeskog breaks that second lineup. Because, again, Landeskog and Rantanen are basically a 1-2 punch on those wings, and not having him there kind of sucked. Casey Mittelstadt is their second-line center I didn't really like either. I know they've been trying to recover since they had Kadri there. Yeah. Kadri was a big part of that, and they don't have... They had that when they had Nichushkin and Lehkonen in terms of that grittiness. Yep. But once Nichushkin was removed from the team, they lost a big chunk of that on that first line where that grittiness wasn't there anymore, which made them, in my view, easier to play against.
Exactly. Like you saw during the Jets series how, like, by the end of that season, I really liked Lehkonen as a player.
Oh,
I hated him by the end of that series just because how well he was doing. But he was pretty much invisible during the series against Dallas.
But same thing with Val. I mean, Val would go to the front of the net and legitimately park himself there, and nobody could move him. And you go, just somebody get him out of the way.
Yeah.
And that, and again, I'm as a defender, I'll tell you right now, that wears you down throughout a game because you're trying to move a mountain of a man. Yes. And having two of them do that, where Lehkonen and then Nichushkin would go back to back against the same, usually against the same defense corps, same defense tandem. Like, you're wearing down guys quickly at that point.
Yeah, and that was what made them so successful during their cup win, is they had that. They were able to play that physical, gritty game and wear teams down. They just didn't have it, and they just didn't get it done.
Well, for Colorado and for Chris, unfortunately, we have to play Jeff one last time.
Travis spoken.
And that'll do it for the X interviews this week. We've got a couple of minutes left here. We're going to rip through this stuff quick. Howie Draper coming back to Alberta. He left PWHL New York. He's going to come back and resume coaching after his quote-unquote leave of absence. He ended it after being in New York. New York obviously missed the playoffs. They were the sixth place team out of six teams in the PWHL. But Howie coming back to coach Alberta Panda should be a big jump for the Pandas, see how they do.
And that's a move that you don't say no to. If he's coming back, you say yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gardner McDougal officially did retire last week on Wednesday. Unfortunately, big loss for U Sports is CHL's gain. As him and his son, he will now become the director of hockey operations and head coach. His son becomes the GM in Moncton. So it's legitimately the McDougal Wildcats at this point.
Yep, it's a family affair over there. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that Moncton Wildcats program. And it's going to be even more interesting to see what happens in the post-McDougal era with UNB.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see who they can get to fill that position as well. Because who wants to fill... I mean, you don't want to say who wants to fill those shoes, but honestly...
It's a lot of pressure.
That's a ton of pressure coming in there, especially on that win streak that they're on as well. So, tough to fill that. But at the same time, though, some good news coming out of Canada West as two players, Cameron Drever and Isabella Posey, both playing for the Saskatchewan Huskies last season. They graduated this year. They'll be going over to play for Skellefteå, the new team that got promoted to the SDHL, or promoted to the SDHL, the top division in Sweden for women. They're joining the brand new Skellefteå team that got promoted from Division 1 up to the SDHL. So a big opportunity for them to sort of go over there and help a team, you know, really, really reach new heights in that SDHL.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a great opportunity for them and for that team to get the talent that they have. I think it's going to be great for them coming into that first year in the SDHL, so it's going to be exciting.
Quick wrap-up in Czechia as well. Canada beat Slovakia today 6-3. Switzerland beat Germany 3-1. The Czechs beat the U.S. 1-0. And in overtime, Sweden beats Finland, setting up your semifinal games at the IIHF World Championship to be Canada and Switzerland and the Czechs and Swiss in the semi, or Swiss, Czechs and the Swedes in the semifinal.
That is one fantastic Swiss program that is just continuing to get better and better.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's the big thing is that I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get worse at any time soon. They look like they're going to be the next, you know, sort of quote unquote superpower to jump into the fray here.
I mean, Switzerland's always had the money, but the investment that's gone into building up the National League, bringing in talent and elevating the talent that's there in Switzerland has been fantastic.
With that, Jay, we've got about 10 seconds to go here. Anything you want to say before we go?
It is Monaco Grand Prix weekend, so everybody get excited.
If you're into the F1 racing, Monaco Grand Prix is a big one, so make sure you're tuning in for that this weekend if you want. With that, folks, we're going to get out of here for another week. Got lots to go over next week, so make sure you tune in for that. We're going to have a ton of stuff to yap about next week. Been a few weeks since we had a chat about stuff like that, but with that, we're out of here for another week. Stay tuned for Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on 101.5 UMFM.
Find your music, what you listen to?
Radio.
You still listen to radio? Yeah.
Wait a minute. You still listen to radio?
Well, a lot of people.
Don't you?
A lot of people don't.
Is it like
a satellite radio station, or are you listening to old kind of?
Just a little thing with a knob.
Working to keep Paul McCartney entertained, you're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg.
Bing, radio, FM.